Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Jacobus, A Eunuch's Faith is a historical novel in multi-volumes that consider the interaction of three great events in the Western world during the first century, which still affect us today. The author is Paul Tretien, a native of Southern California, now living in Carson Valley, Nevada. Paul served in the U.S. Army in congressional liaison during the Vietnam era. A successful businessman, vice president of three family-held corporations with around 100 employees, he was the first non-Flemish artist to participate in National Flemish Art Exhibit in Belgium, a commissioned artist, prominent roles with a number of publishing companies, chairman of Tweener Ministries, sponsor of international competitions for high school students to write children's books, university scholarships were awarded, co-founder of the Gay Christian Fellowship, international foreign missionary for a U.S.-based Protestant denomination, a closeted gay Christian from puberty to 2009, and the author of Jacobus, A Eunuch's Faith, Paul Tretien, our guest on today's This Week in America. Paul, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's a real pleasure for me to be here.
We have so much to talk about during the course of the program, and I mentioned the title. Let's explain the name of the title, and then we'll go off from there. Where did the title come from? And this is the first of several volumes, I understand.
Yes, there will be three volumes. The second one's actually at the publishers now, and I'm still struggling with the third, but it'll be out. But the title, Jacobus, is a Latinization of Jacob. And A Eunuch's Faith is the fact that Gay Christian Fellowship is an organization that my partner and I have started. And this is a reflection of Eunuchs, Gay, Faith, Christian Fellowship. So it's taking something out of our lives and turning it into a historical novel,
which will help a lot of people. And this book is really thoroughly researched. Talk about that. Talk about some of the biblical references you have in the book. Obviously, a great deal of thought and effort and research went into Volume 1.
Yes, it really did. The interesting thing about it is that I lived in Europe for 8 years as a foreign missionary, and I got a sense for the history of the times, you know, the Roman, the Colosseums, right. the old ports, all of these things I got a feeling for. And I lived in the museums there, and it was a wonderful experience for me. And what I did with that was try to picture what it was like 2,000 years ago in these towns like Pula and Rome, and what would it be to live there? And so after mulling it over for a couple of years, I says, okay, Tretien, if you don't start now, it'll never happen. So I just started writing. And I'm kind of different. I don't make an outline, and every writing class I've ever been to and all has always said make a good, clear outline. Well, what I did is I just started telling the story, and it just took off. And it's a rather risky way to write a book, but it's a lot of fun, I tell you. If I was struggling with an outline, I think I would have had a stroke.
Well, it's interesting how it obviously it flows as you're reading it. Obviously, it was flowing as you were writing it. What is the purpose of the book? Who do you think that will benefit from reading this? And then we'll get into some of the areas you take it. Who is this designed for?
Well, I'm a masochist. What I'm doing is I know I'm going to get two groups mad at me. And so I'm writing it anyway because those two groups need to think about things.
Yes.
And those groups are the gay community about Christianity and faith. There's a problem there, a big one. And the more traditional faith community and its attitude towards gays. And there's a big problem there, too. So I'm writing for both groups, not that I can be a peacemaker. I'll probably be more of an irritant, but my hope is it'll cause people to think. Because I want the faith community to see that gays, the eunuchs of the first century, whether they're castrated or not castrated, have spiritual needs and relationships with God just like everybody else. And I want the gay community to realize that there are people of faith who really do love them and care for them, and it's important that they communicate.
You know, this is obviously observations as you went through your life. Could you have used a book like this as you were dealing with your feelings? And I'm assuming yes.
You better believe it. I wish I knew then what I learned now, not
yes.
only through my research, through the history books and the theological writings that I've read. I wish I had it, you know, 50 years ago, even 60 years ago. Yeah, I'm in my 70s. I'm an old codger. But
nothing wrong with 70, trust me.
But the thing is, when I grew up, I didn't know anything about anything. I just knew I was different. And I wish I could have had an adult role model to follow.
Yes.
And I didn't. I just had to bump into walls and, I did what I was supposed to do. I married a woman, which was, I knew within 24 hours was a big mistake. But I did the best I could. And I just wish I had some help. And I'm hoping maybe this will help some young guys out there.
This book will. The book is Jacobus, A Eunuch's Faith. Jacobus, J-A-C-O-B-U-S, Jacobus, A Eunuch's Faith by Paul Tritin. And that's spelled T-R-I-T-T-I-N. You can link on directly to bookventure.com at the bookstore by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book's available, of course, at Amazon and all the usual places. Jacobus, A Eunuch's Faith. Paul Tritin is our guest on the program. I mentioned that in the beginning the three great events in the Western world during the first century that still impact
right.
us today. One is the impact of Jesus of Nazareth. Talk about that and how you bring that up in the book.
Yeah, well, what we have is the main characters are predominantly Jewish. They're merchants. They have a merchant marine business in the Mediterranean world. And they keep on hearing about this prophet in the Holy Land. And they're from Spain and from Sicily, so they have no experience with the Holy Land. But they keep following him. And then they discover that the brother-in-law of one of the owners of the company in the city of Cyrene, which is one of their trading partners, has had a vision about walking with this prophet. And what happens is they finally decide, well, let's go to the Passover in Jerusalem this year. So, like a good Jewish family and their Indian trading partners who are also Jewish, a lot of people don't realize that when the Jews left Babylon and Persia to go back to Israel, in the 300s, there was also a group that went the other direction and went to India and down the Indian coast. So our trading partners are also Jewish. And they go, and it turns out to be the Passover, where Christ does come. And they didn't expect him there, but the brother-in-law just had this haunting vision that he felt he was going to live through it. So they went, and they ended up being at the crucifixion. Their slaves, which they had with them, took Christ down off the cross. Yeah, they did that before the Romans had a chance to do it, because when they take a dead body off the cross, when they do it, but they very seldom did, they let him rot. But they would have just ripped his hands apart. They would have just, and it, they just couldn't see that, so they got permission to take him down. And they followed, and they met the disciples and all of this, and all of a sudden they discovered that their faith in God was enriched by what they learned about the prophet. And the rest of the story is basically one at a time. They began to follow the teachings of Christ while maintaining their Jewish traditions. And then, of course, as time went on, they were no longer allowed in the temple in Jerusalem, and they were outcasts. So they became almost like missionaries throughout the Mediterranean world then as a result.
That's in the book that we're talking about on the program, Jacobus, A Eunuch's Faith by Paul Tretin. In the book, you quote Matthew 19, 10 through 12, the Christian Bible. Let's talk about that, because that's really important.
Yeah, it's a passage that many conservative Christians get uncomfortable with, or they have to explain it away. But Christ is talking to his disciples about marriage. And the disciples said, well, maybe we just shouldn't marry. And Christ says, no, there's three groups of people that shouldn't marry. And he gives them born eunuchs, castrated eunuchs, and people that have decided to abstain from relationships with women. In other words, not procreate. And marriage and women and marriage with and children, getting children, was very important in all cultures except for the Roman culture, but especially Judaic culture in those days. So Christ only gave three qualifiers, but the first one he gave was the born eunuch. That's someone who is born not wanting to have relationships with women, and that is by Greek definition. And the thing is, Christ, you know, his home base on the Sea of Galilee was only 10 miles from the Decapolis, which was non-Galilee territory. It was Greek territory. Decapolis meaning 10 cities in Greek. These were leftovers from Alexander the Great's conquest of the area. And so he's using a term that was common, and it just meant they are men who will not marry women and procreate. The second was, of course, castrated slaves, and the third was people who wanted to devote themselves to service to God and not be distracted by family. And so that is basically what I'm building the story on, is those verses about not having to be married that Christ has, which is quoted by Matthew the Gospel.
Yes, time is going by so quickly, and it is such an important book. I mentioned in the beginning, co-founder of the Gay Christian Fellowship. I want to take a minute or so and talk about that. What's the mission of the group?
Okay. Gay Christian Fellowship is interesting because not everybody that comes to it is gay, and not everybody that comes to it is Christian. But I'll tell you, there is the ratio of gays to non-gays is very high, but the ratio of non-Christians to Christians is very high. It is a way for gay non-Christians to understand Christianity a little bit better and just understand the faith, even having a faith in God. Say nothing about going to a church or anything like
right.
that. It's alien to some of these men who come in. But they enjoy hearing us talk about faith, and they feel comfortable because they're with other gay men. And it's every time we move, and we have a tendency to move quite frequently, we start a Gay Christian Fellowship in a back of a restaurant or an interesting thing is it's online, and a fellow in Africa saw it, and he says he wrote to my partner, Dr. Marvin Baker, and he says, "How can you be gay and Christian and survive?" Because in his country, up until a year ago, gay men were could be executed, and it's still very dangerous to be gay openly. But our passion is for men who have been rejected by their families, by their communities, and now need love and care and can find it through a faith in Christ and just even acknowledging that God even exists. So it's a challenge.
Yes, it certainly is, and I hope progress is being made. A couple of minutes left in the program. I know one of the points that you want to make and a direction you would like to see us go in is a reconciliation between the LGBT community and faith community, seeking a culture of forgiveness and respect. Are we making any progress, do you think?
Well, I tell you, we belong to a church, and I won't mention the denomination, but it's going through struggles right now with that issue. Can we accept gays into our congregations and support them and love them? And they're struggling, and they realize that if they take that position to welcome, the children of some of their parishioners who are gay into the church, they will lose probably nationwide 15-20% of their membership. And it's a struggle. But we used to attend the largest church in that denomination in the country, and the pastor, he said, I'd like to perform your wedding ceremony, but I can't. But it's the right thing to do. And Dr. Baker, he looks at him and he says, Pastor, when is it time to do the right thing? So we're caught in this.
Yes.
In our everyday lives. And
well, you're doing so much to address this in a positive way. The book, as I say, is very important. This is the first volume that's now available, Jacobus, A Eunuch's Faith. Paul Tretien is our guest in the program. The book is available. You'll find it at bookventure.com in the bookstore. You'll find it at Amazon as well, the usual places. You got our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to information on the book. This is book one, The Apprentice, and book two, Paul, you say that's real close to being released here.
Yeah, it's called The Indian Experiment, because of the trading partners, they end up taking the disciple Thomas to India and introducing him to India. And he's, of course, the great spreader of Christianity in India in the first century.
Well, it'll be interesting to read that. And again, the book's available now, Jacobus, A Eunuch's Faith. Paul Tretien has been our guest and the author. If you're looking up his name, it's spelled Tretien. Again, go to the website, and you'll find information you can link on to by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Paul, we will stay in touch. Best of luck with the second book. It is a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure. And again, the book we're talking about, Jacobus, A Eunuch's Faith. Paul Tretien is the author and our guest. Information at bookventure.com and, of course, at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.